Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter 18. I'll read verse 23, and then if you would join me as we start in 28, verse 28, and we'll read down through verse 32. Genesis chapter 18. You join me when we come to verse 28. Genesis 18, verse 23, the Bible says, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Verse 28, ready? "Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for all you do for us. Now as we come to the preaching of thy word, would you meet with us? Give our preacher your power. May he speak from you that which we need, and may you do something that would make a difference in our hearts, in our city, in our state, and Lord, even if we could ask, in our country. We love you. Do what only you can do now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This evening, I'm going to take some time, and I am both my sermon and the remainder of this service is going to be given to the thought and the purpose of preparing us for what we're calling Revive Us Again on July 25th. I'll tell you and explain things as the night progresses, and I think it'll all make sense to you. If I could, I want to mention this. Seven and three quarter years ago, this church contacted me and inquired with me about the possibility of becoming pastor. One of the things that I enjoyed is the fact that we are considered a suburb of Washington, D.C. The thought of having any influence or the possibility of helping the city of Washington to be influenced by the gospel was attractive to me. There are not very many that would have the chance to be this close to Washington, D.C. that they could even make a bit of a difference. But I think we have that opportunity. I call the sermon tonight this: We need salt in Washington, D.C. We need salt in Washington, D.C. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14:34, it says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." I preached on this on our July 5 Sunday service. There are two kinds of righteousness that the Bible speaks of. The Bible speaks of what we call imputed righteousness. And that's where, when you and I get saved, we inherit, if you will, or we take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are not saved by our own righteousness, but we receive the free gift of salvation, which gets for us the gift of His righteousness. So, the Bible talks about salvation righteousness. It's imputed. It's His righteousness is put on our record. You can read about it in Romans 5:19. There's a second kind of righteousness. There's the righteousness that a Christian is to practice after being saved. We are to live our lives righteously. You can read about it in Romans 6:13. Now, the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. I like that verse. We talked about what that verse meant just a week or so ago. There's another passage of Scripture I want us to examine for a moment this evening. You've heard it before. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." This is speaking to the Christians. This is speaking to those that are born again. Actually, then, it is referring to those that have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to their account for salvation. Ye are the salt of the earth, speaking of the righteous people. Now, salt is a preserver. Years and years and years ago, before they came up with the new preservatives, salt was used to preserve meat. They would soak meat in salt, and it would preserve it. When the Bible says ye, meaning the Christians, the born-again people, ye are the salt of the earth, it's talking about Christians help to preserve that which goes on here on the earth. Maybe then, since righteousness exalteth a nation, then maybe we could say Christians exalt and preserve their nation. I think that Christians, we are the righteous in our nation. If we're going to be one nation under God, the Christians are the ones that earn that title for the United States of America. Now, if you'll stay with me, Genesis 18 is our text. We read it together with Brother Young just a moment ago. It's about Abraham. It's about Lot. It's about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. These were kind of twin cities, bumped right up against each other. Abraham is Lot's uncle. Lot and his family are now living by their choice in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, historically, and anybody that knows the Bible have heard the stories, Sodom and Gomorrah was a very, very wicked city. It is where we get that term sodomy, and it is a place where sodomy was practiced. But that's not the only thing that was going on there. It was a wicked city. There was vile living. There was rejection of God. It was a liberal city. And here in Genesis 18, we find out that God, the Bible says, hears the cry of the wickedness of the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He hears the cry. In other words, God hears what's going on down here on the earth. And he plans to destroy the city with fire and brimstone. If you've ever heard the story of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed with fire and brimstone, that's not a fairy tale. It really happened. It really happened. But God, out of respect for Abraham, decided that he was going to describe to Abraham his disappointment in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Abraham's nephew Lot and his family lived there. God said, "Abraham, I'm going to destroy the city. It is wicked. It is vile. It is liberal, and I'm going to destroy it." God told Abraham, and then Abraham, on behalf of the city, on behalf of Lot and his family, Abraham begins to beg God, and he says, "God, please, would you spare the city?" And Abraham says to God, he said, "God, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if we could find 50 righteous people? If we could find 50 born-again Christians in the city, would you please stay your hand of judgment and not destroy the city?" What was he looking for? He was looking for salt. He was saying, remember, we are the salt of the earth. We are the preservers of the earth. And God said, "Okay, if you can find 50 saved, if you can find 50 righteous people, if you can find 50 blocks of salt, then I'll stay my hand of judgment and I won't destroy it." Well, Abraham said, "Well, if I can't find 50, would you salvage the cities if I could only find 45? You wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked if I could find 45 saved people. Would you withhold your hand of judgment?" And the Lord said, "Okay, I'll do it. I will not judge that entire city if we can find 45. Abraham said, "But Lord, wonder if we can only find 40 saved." God said, "I'll do it for 40. I'll withhold my hand of judgment." Abraham said, "But Lord, wonder if we can only find 30. God said, "I won't judge the city." Abraham said, "But wonder if we can only find 20. God said, "I'll withhold my judgment." Abraham said, "Now, Lord, I know I'm pushing my luck here. Wonder if I can only find 10. And God said, "All right, Abraham, You find me 10 born again, imputed righteousness, people that have been saved and want to live for me. You find 10 in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I won't destroy that city. You know the story. The city was destroyed. Why? Couldn't find 10. Now you understand something. Lot, who was to be, he was a man of God. Lot was a man, him and his wife and his family, they lived in that city. Uncle Abraham here has a nephew that knows of God and knows about the salvation that God made available, and they lived in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. God only needed 10 people to save that big city. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 12, if we took the time to study it, this is what you would find out. Lot had, the Bible says he had sons, plural. That means he had at least 2 sons. Lot had daughters, plural. That means he had at least 2 daughters. Lot had sons-in-law, which means he had at least 2 son-in-laws. Then there is Lot and his wife. Understand this. 2 daughters plus 2 sons plus 2 sons-in-laws plus Lot and his wife is 8. All God wanted were 10 saved people in that city. Now, there's already 8 because of Lot's family. All Lot and his family would have had to do was win 2 people to Christ. Lot had to win one, his wife had to win one, and had there been 2 people saved, it would have given a total of 10, and God would have stayed his hand of judgment, and Sodom and Gomorrah would not have been destroyed by fire and brimstone. Pretty sad, huh? Couldn't find 2 people that had been won to Christ. There's a possibility that he might have had 3 daughters or 3 sons. It might be that it only would have taken 1. I'm not sure the population specifically. We did a little research. Research says living within the city, within the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the probably about 1,000 people. That meant that they only needed 1% of the population of that city to be saved, and God would have spared it. That's how merciful God would have been. But we know there weren't enough people there saved to salvage those cities. Only 2 people needed to be won to Christ. Only 2. But there wasn't enough salt in Sodom and Gomorrah for God to spare it. Hey, could the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church make a difference at our nation's capital on July 25th? See, July 25, we're going soul winning in Washington, D.C. I wonder how many souls won it would take to preserve our nation's capital. Now, our goal, we said we'd like to see 1,000 people saved down there in one day. Within Washington, D.C., I'm not talking about the suburbs, but, you know, Washington, D.C. is not a real, real huge area. According to the Census Bureau, living in Washington, D.C., July of 2009, there are just under 600,000 people. Now, if there are just under 600,000 people, 1% would be 6,000. That means if 6,000 people were saved in Washington, D.C., if God got upset enough at our nation, he was going to destroy our capital, 6,000 people would salvage our nation based on the same statistics or the percentages God used with Sodom and Gomorrah. There's probably some churches down there and some saved people. But I believe the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church could make that kind of a difference. I believe that we could. You see, God is looking for salt. You could make a difference. You could make a difference for your nation. Let's produce enough salt that God would spare our capital. Hey, we need salt in Washington, D.C. What do you say? Hey, we could help to preserve our nation's capital.
Hey, and by the way, this is one of the reasons why we have some of our conferences where we invite other churches in. What are we doing? We're trying to get other churches fired up for God and soul winning and making a difference in our country. You say, Brother Lewis, can we make a difference in this great big nation? Sure we could. If God's only looking for 1% and that would salvage our nation, we could make an impact like that. We could bring churches in and challenge them. We could train young preacher boys, challenge pastors to go out and win souls and stop playing church but meaning business for God. We could make a difference like that. This wasn't an outstanding, unreachable goal. Hey, all God said is, Abraham, as long as Lot's family has won two people to Jesus Christ, I will salvage that whole city. Folks, we could make that kind of an impact. We could make a difference. That's why we're going to go to Washington, D.C. on July 25. Now, let me tell you some things. Now I'm going to get very, very practical. I want to tell you about that day. I want to teach you some things. You stay with me. I'm going to talk fast. And in services to come, I'll remind you of some of these things. It'll take a little extra money to do it. If you decide that you want to give a little bit toward that day, I'm not going to take a special offering. I'm not going to beg anybody. But you say, Brother Owens, I want to be a part of that. If you want to give extra, you give it in an envelope and you just mark it on your tithing envelope or stick the check or something underneath my door. We'll get it in the right place. But if you want to help, you can help us financially. Did you know that the New Testament Church of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost had 3,000 saved? Can you imagine if we could get 1,000 people saved? That would be one-third of that historical event of the people at the New Testament Church of Jerusalem seeing people saved. That would be an amazing thing. That would, just think, little old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church right here in little old Martinsburg, West Virginia, having a third of the number saved that they had on the historical day of the day of Pentecost. You say, I don't know if it can be done. I believe God's still in a saving business. And the Lord said, greater works than these shall you do. It just takes some people of faith to step out. It takes somebody to say, I want to try it. I want to be a part of it. You know something? I'd rather try something big and fail than to try nothing and succeed. You say, well, Brother Owens, and a lot of people say, I want to be a part of a New Testament church. This is what New Testament church did. They launched out and said, we want to make a difference. We want to make an impact. There are churches everywhere that are satisfied, sucking up their air conditioning, sitting in their padded pew, pay a preacher to get up and preach a little ditty every once in a while, make some little effort to take off our conscience any responsibility. Folks, we got a nation to save. Hey, somebody's got to step up and do something. He's got to stand. God wants to do something big. God wants to make a difference. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Now let me give you some very practical things about this big soul winning day down in the city on July 25. The date is July 25. And just so you know, that's this year. That's this year. We have been announcing this for a couple of months now, July 25. Next, I'm going to tell you the timing and the schedule. I'll be giving it to you later, but let me give you this schedule. We're going to have a meeting that day here in the auditorium at 9:30 in the morning. We'll take 30 minutes to get some very brief explanation, and at 10 o'clock, we're going to get on buses. We're going to take the buses down to the designated area. We've given ourselves 2 hours to get there, just in case the traffic is thick. By 12 noon, we're going to be soul winning. We're going to soul win for 4 straight hours until 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, we're going to get back on a bus. We give ourselves 2 hours to get back. At 6 o'clock, we're going to go straight into the gymnasium where we're going to have pizza and drinks. We'll have a quick meal, but a little bit of a victory banquet, because I believe if one person gets saved, it's worth it. But I believe God's going to do something fantastic. You say, boy, that seems like a long day. Well, let me tell you something. Do you think that the day of Pentecost, when they had 3,000 saved, they showed up and 45 minutes later everybody went home? You just figure out how long it takes to baptize one person, multiply it times 3,000, and tell me how long that church service was. Those of you that when 8:30 hits, you start looking at your watch on Sunday night saying, well, when is Coop going to be done? I've got news for you. In the New Testament, they went to church till midnight at times. When God got a hold of the church, they didn't put any timing on it, didn't make the pastor stay within a time frame. What we're doing is we're going to take one Saturday, no holds barred, and try to make a difference in the United States of America. I want God to use this. I don't want to just talk about revival. I want to be a part of revival. I remember the historical revivals of Billy Sunday and Billy Sunday's Day, where they started shutting down all the liquor joints and made the selling of liquor illegal in the United States of America. Hey, if they in that generation can make a difference, so can we. Somebody's got to believe God's still in the saving business. Somebody's got to believe God still wants to do something big. I want to be a part of it. Let me tell you the plan. We will have 8 teams that will go down to the city. At least 7 of the 8 teams will. We have team leaders. These team leaders are our assistant pastors here at the church. The team leaders then are made, the teams are made up of our adult Sunday school classes and then our youth department. Let me tell you how it's broken down. Brother Bajan is leading team number 1. He and Mrs. Donnelly's Sunday school classes are coming together for that day. Team number 2 is made up of Brother Nash as the leader, Brother Nash's Sunday school class, and Mrs. Lawrence's class coming together. Team 3 is led by Brother Calling. Brother Calling's Sunday school class, Brother Nathan Owens' Sunday school class are unifying that day to make a team. Team number 4 is Brother Bush's team. It's made up of Brother Bush's Sunday school class, Mrs. Williams' Sunday school class, and Brother Stephen Davis's class. Team number 5 is led by Brother Doss. It's made up of Brother Doss's class, Mrs. Kane's class, Brother Ken Davis's class, Mrs. Mongan, and Brother Milliron's class. Team number 6 is led by Brother Young. Brother Young's class will be a part of it, Brother Baxter's class, Brother Martin's class, and Brother Stoltz's class. Team number 7 will be our youth department. It is led by Brother Joshua Owens, and all the teenagers will go with that unit. Team number 8 will be led by Brother Tennis. Brother Tennis's class, Brother Stanley's class, and Mrs. Young's class, that group are not going down to the city. Primarily made up of our senior citizen classes, and anybody whose work schedule may not allow them to go down there or their health won't allow them to go down there, they're going to some low-income areas, either down in Winchester or up in Hagerstown, but we are going to send them out. They also are going to help us. They're going to set up for the meal that we're going to have at the end of the day, so they'll be more local and won't have all the travel time. Now, that's the plan. We'll have 4 hours of nothing but soul winning. And I'm talking about soul winning with urgency. I'm not talking about witness to somebody, then go have a cup of coffee for 45 minutes. I'm talking about find every human being that you can and tell them that Jesus saves. You say, boy, this is big. It is very big. It is the difference between life and death, eternal life and eternal death for somebody, and it's time for churches to mean business for God again. If there really is a hell and there really is a heaven, why do we make so light of it? Why is it so casual? There's an urgency. Now, you need to get on a team. You need to sign up tonight. These team captains and the adult Sunday school teachers, I ask all of them to bring their sign-up sheets so you can sign on the dotted line. If you're in the classes, you need to sign. Plan to go with us. We need that. Bus captains, I'm going to ask you and your workers to visit during the week that week, but on Saturday we're going to put everything aside and we are going to try to win over 1,000 people to Jesus Christ. We're going to set some goals. I think you should set a personal goal to have some people saved. I think you ought to decide that you're going to try to have a certain number of people saved. You say, I wonder if I don't reach my goal. Don't worry about that. Let's just get everybody saved that we can, but I think you ought to shoot at something. These 8 teams are going to set goals, and I'm going to ask them to set a goal right now. When I call your name out, you 8 team leaders, give me an idea of what you're going to pray for and what you'd like to reach in your goal for soul winning that day. And let's see here. Jeff, do me a favor, son. Pull out a piece of paper, and you write down these goals with me, and then you give me a total number when we're completely done. Here we go. Brother Bajan, what will your team goal be? 100 people saved. Excellent. Brother Nash, how many? 100. Excellent. Brother Calling? 200. Excellent. Brother Bush, and I think Brother Davis? Goodness. We're not talking about your golf score here. You know that, right? Brother Doss, where art thou? Your goal, 200? Brother Young, 100. Brother Tennis, 50. You okay? I'm not worried about the sneezer. I'm worried about the one in front of him. Okay, Brother Joshua Owens, the youth department. Well, let me tell you something about our youth department. They are a soul-winning machine. They are not afraid to tell others about Jesus Christ, and you can be glad that you've got a youth department. They're not going out getting high and getting drunk, but they're concerned about the souls of men. Son, how many do you have? He was all excited about the youth department, and so he... 1850. Wow. It'd be worth missing the goal. But 1850, let's pray about it now. Let me go on. Let me recommend to us that we pray and that we fast over this thing. Hey, let's say for some reason you're out of town on vacation. Would you remember us that day and pray for us? Pray for safety. Pray that God would lead us to the right people. If you can go, we ought to be praying between now and then. You just pray over and over again. Say, God, please help us to reach a lot of people. There are people all over that city that have never heard the plan of salvation. I will promise you. There are people that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. The thing of fasting, what does that mean? That means you give up a meal or you give up a day's worth of meals and you give your time instead of eating to praying that God would use us. Some of you need to fast and pray. Let me go on, number six. The areas that we're going to be going soul winning. We have five men that went down to the city and spent one whole day there scouting out the areas. We're sending one group. They're going to the White House. And if we can climb the fence, we will. No, we're going to the White House, and we're going soul winning all around the White House in the Capitol building. Others are going to go to low-income, poor people. They're very easy to win to Christ. And we have maps. We already have charted areas. It's already done. We have directions from here to there to get the groups exactly there. We already have a mapped-out area. It's already defined and designated. Everybody already knows where they're going. Let me go on, number seven. Nurseries and child care for the day. Brother Greenlee has graciously agreed to help us with, we're going to have a Dunamis Club that day. So when the kids come in, about 9:15, the Dunamis Club, and we'll have activities. He'll have a crew of people helping him. They'll meet over in the gymnasium, or we'll give you instruction about it. But we're going to provide sack lunches and snacks, and there's going to be a day of activity and fun for the kids while we're there. Then, all six of our primary nurseries will be available. Nursery directors, if you have any direction that you feel like you need to give to moms for that day, you start distributing it and getting it out. But we will have nurseries and child care all the way up to sixth grade available for that day. Number eight. We have printed and are in the process of printing right at 10,000 gospel tracts. They're special gospel tracts. They have a picture of the American flag on them. I think people will receive them from us very quickly. But this is a tract. It's about our church. It tells people who we are. Got a picture of our church on here. A picture. It has a beautiful picture of the American flag on the front of it. We're having these printed special for the day. We're going to give out these tracts all day long, but we're going to be winning people to Christ. We're not just handing out tracts. We are winning souls to Jesus Christ. If you have not received one of the pages that tell you about it, they're beautiful. They're one page, red, white, and blue. They're at the doors. We were giving them out before the service. We've been distributing them for 2 weeks now. You ought to get one. That'll help you to know about the different teams on which you may serve. Next, let me talk to you about lunch for the buses. We have a group of our senior citizens a day before going to pack a sack lunch for every one of us. If you'd bring a dollar that day, we're going to give you a sack lunch for a dollar. When we get down there, we're not going to take a break to eat. Right before we get off the buses, everybody will have a chance to eat. You say, oh, that'll be hard. It wouldn't hurt us to struggle a little bit just to see a whole bunch of people saved. Well, we've got a problem in Christianity today. If it's not convenient, we don't want to do it. If it's not comfortable, we won't want to do it. You better tell the martyrs of years gone by how when they were eaten by lions and beaten by the enemy, and tortured and crucified, you tell them that you don't want to go because the bus is not air-conditioned. No, this is a day where Christians step out and do something more than a little. But for a dollar, we're going to have sack lunches for everybody. I think Brother Tennis, and he's got a crew of people. There'll be a sandwich in it. There'll be a bottle of water, the condiments. We're going to have a granola bar and a fruit cup. And everybody will have that. And you'll get it on the way down, and we'll eat when we get there. We're right before we get off the bus because, boy, the minute we get there, we're going to take off soul winning and going to win everybody we can to Christ. Number 10, We're going to give a few rewards away. You say, why? Well, God gives them, and anybody that's against them, you're going to be against God giving them out in heaven, because the Bible talks about the rewards of service. I'll show you something we're going to give away. For all eight teams, we're going to give something to the top soul winner for the man on the team, and a top soul winner for the lady on the team. Youth department, now you're going to get two of these. You won't get them for both of your buses, because I think the youth department thinks you're going to need two buses to go down, but you'll only, the youth department, you get something for the top boy and the top girl soul winner, so you won't have it for two buses worth, all right, just your team. I have here a sample, and what I'm going to do is, Brother Logue, after I've used this here, I'll hand it to you, and I want you to take it out, and I want you to put it on the table where we're selling the CDs if people want to go by and take a look at it. This is an American flag, and it's in a beautiful wooden case. It's got a picture of myself and our church here, but here on the front it's got a plate that says Revive Us Again, printed just like this big sign, July 25, 2009, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church Soul Winning Award. The top male soul winner and the top female soul winner on every team will receive one of these as a remembrance of your efforts for the day. Brother Logan, you can just keep it right there, but after the service you'll take it back for me. Then, Our congresswoman, Shelley Moore Capita's office, has agreed to help us with something. The top soul winner out of all the soul winners that day, she promised us that the flag that is going to be flying over the Capitol building on July 25th, that she would make sure that it is taken down. It will be given to me. It's going to be given to us as a gift. We're going to place it in a case. She's also going to give us a letter to tell that to make it authentic that was the actual flag that flew above the Capitol building on July 25, 2009. The very top soul winner will get that flag as a gift to remember the day. You'll never have a chance to get anything like that again. What a wonderful opportunity. Now, what else? And listen real carefully now, because there are little changes that I'm going to give you to our weekly church routine. We're not going to have any ladies soul winning that Tuesday, July 21st. You say, why? Well, I want us to go out on Saturday. So no Tuesday ladies soul winning that week. No Thursday teen soul winning that week. No Thursday adult soul winning that week. We're putting all of our efforts into that Saturday. Plus, I don't want our church to be so busy that we don't have time with our families and time at home, and God knows the ladies have got to mow the yard. It has been, the grass is growing, it's been raining, and so we want time for that. So there'll be no Tuesday ladies soul winning, no Thursday teen soul winning, no Thursday adult soul winning, which of course means, Brother Greenlee, no Dunamis Club that Thursday night, gives you a little break, give you a little more energy for Saturday. God bless you, brother. Then, no bus meeting that Saturday morning, Brother Bajan. Saturday we'll meet in here. I'm asking the bus workers and captains to do what they can to do some visiting through the week. And next Sunday, we just got to make a great big push on the buses to get everybody just to show up that Sunday. Brother Nash, no music practice that Saturday, none whatsoever. Nothing is going to take the place of trying to keep these people out of hell. It's just going to get a priority on that one Saturday. Now, that's the plan. Simple. It's not complicated. Now, the behind-the-scenes part we'll take care of. That's the complicated part. But I've given you the plan for the day. We'll all go out. We'll win as many people to Christ as we can. We'll turn our numbers in to our team captain. We'll come here at the end of the day, and whatever God gives us, we will celebrate, because whoever got saved, it was worth every bit of it. You say, well, wonder if we only have one. I'll tell you something. Keeping one person out of hell would be worth it for this whole church to give a whole day. If you knew how bad hell was and how wonderful heaven was, you'd understand that. Now, team captains and adult Sunday school teachers, in a minute, we're going to have an invitation. We're just about done. I want you, team captains, I want you to have with you down here at the altar, and I want my team captains to come down here, and I'm going to ask you when we start the altar call. Some of you are assistant pastors. You'll have to help me with the altar call. But all those team captains, Brother Bajant, Brother Nash, Brother Cowling, Brother Bush, Brother Doss, Brother Young, Brother Owens, Brother Tennis, Brother Davis, if you have the ones from your class, you come down here, and if you've not signed up to help your class, you want to come up here and grab that paper from them and sign up, you may. If your adult Sunday school teacher is here, they have a way for you to sign up. But you need to get on a team. You need to help us. I'll tell you this. There's some that your work schedule won't allow it. Your vacation won't allow it. But for the rest of you, I think if you don't participate in some way, I think you'll look back and regret it someday. It may be one of the greatest days that our church ever experiences. And I want you to be a part of it. In a minute, if you'd like to come down here and pray, you come down here and pray and say, Lord, please use our church on that day. I don't believe that this is just something that you do mechanically. I believe we need God's help. I think we need God's direction and God's protection. We need God's blessing on us as we go. As we have an altar call, if you want to come, you may come and pray. If you want to come and find one of the team captains and get signed up to help that day, youth department, if you've not signed up already, Brother Owens will be down here so you can sign up. And then let me say this, and I'm finished. If you're not saved, why don't you get saved tonight and help become part of the salt that could preserve our nation? Let's make a difference for Jesus Christ. Sometimes I read about the historical revivals. They seem so exciting. You know, folks, I don't want to just read about them. I want to be a part of it. Revival was not just something you and I were to admire about other generations. Something we ought to be a part of. And I think God's going to give us a chance to be a part of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.